All right. As we begin, I want to just resolve the cliffhanger that we left off with last week. I'm surprised anyone was able to sleep over the last few days. I know if I hadn't had the answer, it would be very difficult. But we asked a question, which is really going to serve as the basis for everything we're going to talk about today as we make our way down to the Mishnah, which is certainly the goal for this evening. And the question we asked was, it's clear from everything we're discussing that there is a conflict that exists practically in the halacha. I'm just going to ask everyone to mute, if that's okay. Okay.
You got to wish Yossel a happy birthday. You got to wish Yossel a happy birthday.
Okay, so there's a conflict that exists between the nature of Yom Tov and the Avelos, and they can't coexist, right? And the question that Rav Soloveitchik raised was, that's all fine and dandy until you get down to the practicalities, right? We said that when it comes to someone who's in Avelos during Shiva, they're allowed to eat meat, and they're allowed to drink wine. And if that's the case, so then it doesn't seem like there's anything that your Yom Tov would be lacking, okay? Maybe strictly speaking, that's the requirement. The way that you express the simcha, the way that you achieve what the Torah lines, outlines for you in terms of fulfilling the mitzvah of simcha, you can do that as an avel also. So why should it be that one knocks out the other? Why should there be this clash? So again, this is something the Rav discussed in a famous Yahrzeit Shir with a huge audience, and it was preserved for the ages. And he says the following concept, which is very, very simple when you think about it, but we'll just give one or two illustrations as to how this plays itself out, and it becomes very clear. The Rav said that we need to sort of reverse our orientation. Instead of thinking that the actions that the Torah prescribes for Yom Tov, let's say eating meat, drinking wine, that's not actually how you fulfill Simcha. Those are outward expressions of what the Torah calls upon you to be feeling inside. What's unique about Yom Tov is that Yom Tov is a kiyum shebelev. The simcha of Yom Tov is a kiyum shebelev. It's a fulfillment that really is in your heart. It's about the mood. It's about experiencing the joy of the Yom Tov. It's only that the way that you accomplish that is through the outward performance. In other words, there's some things that you do, there's some mitzvahs that you perform for the sake of the actions are purely for the sake of the action. And sometimes the action is merely an expression of what's inside. That's a very big difference. So you can eat meat and drink wine on Shabbos. The mitzvah you'll get is Onik Shabbos, right? Mm-hmm. The mitzvah is not internally how I feel, but the action of eating itself is a mitzvah of Onik. Yom Tov, it's true, you need to eat it, but the eating is really more about what it brings about inside. And that's why, even though eating the meat, drinking the wine, can be done during Shiva, during the Avelos, but it's more about what's inside that results, that's where the stira, the contradiction to the Avelos exists. Because the Avelos is also, it's not simply about changing shoes, and it's not simply about, taking a shower, not taking a shower. It's about what that does internally to the person. The lave, the heart of an avil, cannot coexist with the lave, the heart of a person, the way he's supposed to be celebrating Yom Tov. Okay, and that's where the contradiction lies. So one or two brief illustrations of this. Number one.
So what you're saying that there's no simcha shebelave.
The avelus, which requires you to be sad, belave, can't happen at the same time. It's a simcha shebelev. So you can eat the meat, but that's not really where the clash is. It's more about what's inside. I'll give you one example because this is my favorite. I've got two examples. I can't resist. First of all, in Rosh Hashanah, right? So we discussed whether or not Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have an aspect of simcha to them. Okay, so think about it. There's one version. Our machzorim don't have this, but historically there was one version of the machzor. You have to ask Abe Katz about this. But the Rishonim have one version of the Machzor that says, Moedim l'simcha chagim uzmanim l'sason. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Right? That's very strange. Right? So, another example of that is found in the fact that The Gemara says, how come we don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? And the Gemara says that this was a conversation between the Malachim and Hashem. And the Malachim said, what's the deal? How come you're not saying Hallel? So the response is, the big books, Sifrei Chaim, Sifrei Mason, Pesuchim Lefanav, they're open before Hashem, and they're going to sing Shira. It's not appropriate. But it sounds like, fundamentally, there's an aspect of Simcha that exists on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur. Right? Even though we can't outwardly express it, there's something about the mood that doesn't call for it, but the Simcha has to exist. You can't even eat on Yom Kippur. You can't even eat on Yom Kippur. So what does that demonstrate? It demonstrates that the Simcha is something that exists beyond the actions that express it. It really comes down to what's inside. Okay? Final example. This is my favorite. There's a halacha. a person who is an onin doesn't send karbanos. Doesn't send karbanos. However, a Kohen Gadol does operate as usual even during that period of Avelis. Even though he has to observe, you know, recognize the fact that he lost a relative, nevertheless, he still has to, he can still perform all other mitzvahs, even regarding bringing the karbanos that he would normally. What's the difference between Kohen Gadol and everybody else? So the Rav explained, because the Kohen Gadol has an obligation to be besimcha the whole year round. Why? Because what's the aspect that the Kohen Gadol has that we only have on the Shor Shvigalim? He is permanently installed in the Beis HaMikdash. The closer you are to Hashem, that's where Simcha stems from. It's not a coincidence that when we all come to Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, then the Samachta B'chagecha. But the Kohen Gadol is always stationed there. He had a little apartment. He had an office. And that was his job, to be there all the time. So his level of Simcha was something 365 days a year. So his Simcha, which was part of his job, made every day of the year like a Yom Tov for him. So he doesn't have Avelos. He didn't have a mitzvah to eat all day and drink all day. He can't drink. If he drinks all day, he can't bring the karbanos. So you see that the Simcha is something that exists behind the scenes, even when there's no action of eating or drinking performed. It's about what's in the heart. Okay? So that lays the groundwork for what we're going to talk about today, that the contradiction between Avelos and Simcha is not in the actions, but it's rather in the mood that the halacha calls upon us to reflect. Okay, here we go. We're going to pick up the third wide line on Chaf Dalet Amud Beis. Okay? Try to cover a little ground here today and put into practice some of the things we've been talking about up until now. Stop me at any point. Okay? This should be as interactive as possible. Just, you know, don't let the cheesecake distract you. You know, we're going in full force over here. Darish Rav Hanani Bar Sason Apischa Debe Nesia. Rav Hanani Bar Sason, one of the Amoraim, he once gave a drasha Apischa Debe Nesia, at the entrance to the Nasi's house. You know, you ever see like these press conferences on the on the lawn in front of the White House? They used to have shirim in the Nasi's house. Yom Echad, this was what he taught. Yom Echad Lefnei Atzeres Ve'Atzeres, one day prior to Shavuos, observing Avelos, one day prior to Shavuos, the Atzeres and Shavuos itself, Harekan Arba Aser. You've already counted 14 days out of your 30 days. Okay? So the Shiva is knocked out by the Shavuos, plus you get another 7. Okay? So the background, just a quick review, we said this last week, even though Atzeres is only one day, Shavuos is observed one day, 2 days in Chutz La'aretz. The reason it counts for 7 is because it's all jam-packed into one day, but you can bring your karbanos for the 6 days that follow. We said that has implications for Tachlon. One additional implication could be, you know, when we say Shachiyano at Kiddush, right at the beginning of the holiday, right? Mm-hmm. If for some reason you forgot to say Shachiyano, you know, everyone, the rabbi has to make an announcement, you know, at the night of Yontif to remind everyone, Leishi Basukah before, afterwards, when do I say, if you forgot Shachiyano, at the beginning of Yontif, you can say it, the Gemara says, anytime while you're walking down the street. It's nothing to do with Yayin per se. The most appropriate time to do it is when you're holding the, you know, you're making a toast, when you say it over the wine. But there's nothing about that Zman as opposed to the other 6 days where the Zman is appropriate. So what about if I forgot to say Shachiyon on the first day of Shavuos? Can I say it 6 days later? So it depends how much we consider those days that follow the beginning of Shavuos to be an extension of the Yom Tov. Here we see one application of that Atzeres, Shavuos has another 6 days to bring karbanos, And it's almost as if the power of that simcha is packed into day one, that if the Avel observes Erev Shavuos and Shavuos itself, he has a total of 14 to his account the day after Shavuos. Okay? So that was his chiddush.
Whatever we're going to say, you can say Shechianu afterwards. It sounds to me like over zmana badla kabana.
But you could still bring the karbanos the whole week. So it's not over zmana, let's say. Over zmano, zman, Shechianu, lo badla kabana, because you can still bring it all week. That's the svar. Okay? So here we go. Yom echad lefnei atzeres v'atzeres, harekan arba asar. So you have 14 altogether, and you have another 16 following Shavuos to observe as part of Shloshim. Shamar Rabbi Ami v'ikpid. Rabbi Ami heard him giving this drasha. The ikpid, it means like he was makpid. He was very upset. He was disturbed that he said this drasha. Okay? Rabbi Ami, fourth line. Rabbi Ami ikpid, he was upset. Amar atu didehi. Is this your own? Is this your own vort? Is this your own chiddush? Rabbi Lazar Amar boshiyahi. This is actually something that was innovated long before you in the time of Tanaim. We're going to see a quote in a little while where Rabbi Elazar and Moshe, you didn't make it up yourself. So what's he upset about? He's upset that he neglected the din of HaMevi Dover B'Shem Omro, Mevi Gula L'Olam. If you quote something, the name of the person where you heard it from, it brings Gula L'Olam. Every time someone says this, my father says, who said that? No one knows. Everyone knows I'm supposed to quote who said it, but I don't know who said that I'm supposed to say that I quoted. So fascinating is in Pirkei Avos, it quotes that line and doesn't say anyone who said it. So I'm not sure, but in Megillah, where do we know there's a halacha? How do you know that it brings geula if you quote the person?
Oh, that's
exactly. The Gemara says in Megillah that Tomer. Okay. Exactly. Esther quotes Mordechai and says, "You know who saved your life? It was Mordechai. So who was the one who had the schus to bring geula to Klal Yisrael? It was Esther." Okay. So there, interestingly enough, the Gemara does quote a name and says that it was, I think, Rabbi Chanina. I got to get it right, otherwise I'm in trouble. The Gemara in Megillah says, Amr Belazar, Amr Bechanina, Kola Omer Dover B'Shem, Amro Mevi Gula Olam. Okay? So we have two different places in Chazal. One has a name attached to it, one doesn't. Okay. So he was upset with him. How come you said it as if it was your own? Okay? I'll leave that as a cliffhanger. See it maybe at the end. Like, how did he have a right to do it? It's a good kasha. Okay. We continue. Now we're at the, in the middle of the fifth line. Darish Rabbi Yitzhak Nafka, Akila Dereish Galusa. A similar thing happened. Rabbi Yitzhak Nafa was talking. Akila, he was at the ante room, the front door of the Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa was the parallel dignitary, I guess, in Bavel to the Navi, to the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and they were both from the line of David HaMelech, from that royal line.
Yeah, but the Reish Galusa was from the paternal, you know. He was
okay,
more Yichus.
Okay, yeah. So he said the same thing. Yom echad lefnei atzeres v'atzeres harekan arba asar. If you observe right before Shavuos and Shavuos itself, that's 14 days right there. Shamar Rav Sheshes ikpid. Once again, Rav Sheshes heard him say this din and he got upset. Amar atu didehi. Is this really your own chiddush? No, Dor Belazar Amar Rav Oshiyahi. This was said long before you. Here we go. Let's see where it was actually said. Amar Rav Belazar Amar Rav Oshiyahi. Minayin la'atzeres sheyesh la tashlumin kol sheva. This is the halacha we've been talking about. How do we know that the Yom Tov of Shavuos has tashlumen, has a makeup date, if you couldn't bring the karbanos on the first day, the first opportunity, that you can fill it in later? Shenemar b'chag ha-matzos v'chag ha-shavuos. Okay? That is part of the pasuk. It's found in Re'eh. It's found in the Musaf, right? B'chag ha-matzos, right? Mm-hmm. So the Torah, we find a number of locations in the Torah where we have the dinim of Yom Tov. First is Emor. Vayikra Chav Gimel. Emor is where you find the nitty-gritty of the, we'll say, the mitzvos, eating matzah, shaking lulav and esrog, that almost all the Yom Tovim we read from Emor and Vayikra. Fast forward to Pinchas. Again, we talk about the Yom Tovim, and that's where we have the karbanos. One more time in Re'eh, we talk about the karbanos again. We go through a quick review of the cycle, and that's where this pasuk appears. So the juxtaposition of Shavuos to Pesach, even though one is a short holiday, one's a long holiday, what does that indicate to us? Continues the Gemara, Ma chag ha-matzos yesh lo tashlumin kol shiva, just like Pesach has a 7-day opportunity to bring the karbanos. If you don't bring the karban on day one of Pesach, you can bring it the other days. Parenthetically, we're not talking about the karban Pesach. There's only one day you can bring a karban Pesach. And it's actually Erev Pesach. You bring the karban Pesach, Erev Pesach, you eat it at the Seder. Okay? And as I always say in Shir, the Mizbeach is not a barbecue. Okay, so we grew up with this impression that, like, you know, the Mizbeach is where you roast all your meat. No, they shechted it, they sprinkled some blood on the Mizbeach, they would put some, maybe some parts of the animal that you don't eat, but not with the Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach was roasted whole, but you did that at home. Okay, so if you happen to be, you know, chef master, you know, the barbecue guy from the Home Depot commercials in the summertime. So, okay, this was your Yom Tov, okay? There was no kitchen in the Beis HaMikdash. Truly, there was the Kohanim needed a kitchen, but everyone else would do their roasting of the meat back home.
Whatever they cut the behemer, they had someone to go and cover the blood in the Beis HaMikdash?
You mean when they did the Kisu Hadam? The Kisu Hadam, no, there's no Kisu Hadam by Karbanos. Okay, that's the first mission, I think, in the Perek of Kisei Adam, if I remember correctly, in Chulin. Okay, it doesn't apply to consecrated animals; it only applies to what you know. You're the chef master at home. Okay, here we go. All right, continues the Gemara. No, there's no Kisei Adam on a Chaya, Behema. Chaya V'Ov. I said it backwards. I'm sorry. Correct. Okay. So the nafkamina would be for ofos. Normally you cover for the of, but not on the mizbeach. But right. But most of the kumaras that you bring are animals that would not be subject to. If you shecht a cow, there's no kisei adam. If you shecht a deer, it's a chaya. So then there is kisei adam. Okay.
But even a chicken's a type of chaya.
Yeah, that's chaya.
So that's an of. That's an of. There's no chickens on the mizbeach, but there's tor ben yona. Right. Those would be. Subject to Kisei Adam, but not in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so here we go. Just like Pesach is not just a one-day thing, it's a whole week, so to Shavuos, even though it's a 24-hour holiday in Eretz Yisrael, but there's still that lingering opportunity to bring the Karbanos anyway afterwards. So that is the source. That's in the going back to the Tanayim, that Shavuos has this full status of actually 14 days if Avelos began before Shavuos began. Okay? Any questions? Okay, here we go. Adbore Rav Papa Lervavia Saba. Adbore means he accompanied him. He walked along with him. They were taking a spatzir and they were talking about the sugya. So Rav Papa accompanied Rav Avia Saba. He was the elder one. He was the Saba. V'dorash, and he shared the following halacha. Yom Echad Lufnei Rosh Hashanah. Vir Rosh Hashanah, Harei Kan Arbasar. Interesting chiddush. He says the same halacha, now carrying it over to Rosh Hashanah. Just like Shavuos is one day, counts as a total of 14, so too, if a person observed Shiva shortly before Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah stops the Shiva, Rosh Hashanah also counts as 7, and then you pick up with another 16 days after that. That is a whopper of a chiddush. That is the biggest chiddush we've seen so far. Because at least when it comes to Shavuos, there's grounds for that. Because Shavuos has another 6 days afterwards where the Simcha still continues. Rosh Hashanah, also in Eretz Yisrael, really supposed to be only one day, and you're done. Then there's nothing else there because the Karbanos that you bring the rest of the week on Shavuos, it's the Korban Chagiga and it's the Korban, the Olas Re'ia, right? Those things are not brought on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, you don't even come to the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah, right? So this is a really big chiddush.
Was that also requested in Kippur? That falls in between? Was that also?
Well, so right now we're talking about just the day of Rosh Hashanah gets you at 14, right? Oh, so you're asking a very good question. Hold that thought. When we finish, we get to the mission, we'll come back to how Yom Kippur plays into this, right? Because I don't know if you have this in mind, but let's do a little math over here, okay? I'm not a math guy, so you'll help me out over here. Let's say you finish Rosh Hashanah with 14 days, right? How many days are there? Okay, hold on. How many days, before we get there, how many days do you have left Yom Kippur? It's another 9 days, let's say, right? So where are you holding now? 14 plus 9 is 23, right? Oh, one second. We pulled the fast one on you. Who says Yom Kippur doesn't knock it out? Right? If Rosh Hashanah can knock out the Shiva, maybe Yom Kippur should knock out the Shloshim, and don't bother counting 14 days, right? Why are you making such a big deal about how many days Rosh Hashanah adds up to if Yom Kippur is going to knock it out anyway? Oh, okay. So if I were you, if I were just reading this line of the Gemara, I would say that is a raya that Yom Kippur does not negate Shloshim. Okay? You made me jump the gun. I have a big yetzer hara for jumping the gun. What can I say? Okay? So keep that in the back of your head. Okay? There's actually three opinions as to how to deal with this question. All right? But that's excellent. Very, very important point.
Is that what we hold? That
yeah.
Shavuos is 7 days and Rosh Hashanah is 7 days and not it's
yeah.
Not 7 days.
Yeah. Yeah. We one of the reasons for this, we'll talk about this more. You probably saw this earlier in the Masechta, but probably relevant over here is the principle halacha kedivrei hamekel ba'avel. We mentioned this last week, I think, right?
Yes.
When it comes to avelos, it's a unique category of halacha, which gives us the right to select the usually shopping cart Judaism. That's what my rabbi used to call it. You know, you don't pick and choose the most lenient opinions automatically. You need to have grounds for it. Here in avelos, we do tend to take the most lenient opinions. Sometimes even when there's like they're contradictory, but we'll have to say that for another time. Okay, so keep that in mind. That's Rosh Hashanah. We're at the end of the line, about five, six lines before the end of the page. Am Ravina, Hilkach. Therefore, based on what you just told me, Yom Echad Lefnei Hachag, V'Chag, Ushmini Shalo, Harekan Esrim V'Echad Yom. Okay, let's do the math. Yom Echad Lefnei Chag. Chag is Sukkos. So Erev Sukkos, the person begins to observe Avelos even for a short time. So right off the bat, Sukkos is going to cancel it. And you're now at 7. The beginning of Sukkos. Sukkos itself is 7 days. Okay? So we're now at 14. Ushmini shalo, shmini atzeres, harekan esve echad. Now you're at 21. How did we get 21? Because in the same way that Rosh Hashanah counted as 7 on its own, shmini atzeres, right? Now, and this is where we see how the Chiddush once again manifests itself. Just like Rosh Hashanah gets that 7-day status. Even though there's no 6-day extension. Shavuos we know is a 6-day extension. Rosh Hashanah, a Chiddush. You still get an extra 7 days there. Shmini Atzeres also, right? Shmini Atzeres, it's a 1 day. If anything, I would say it's more than Rosh Hashanah because Shmini Atzeres is still an extension of Sukkos in some way, right? So that gives you another 7. You're at 21. Oh, so what? Okay, great. So this is a question the Ramban asks. Ramban asks your question, Mr. Glanter, because we're stuck with the issue of you can't really consider Shavuos parallel to Rosh Hashanah because Shavuos has that bonus of the 6 days. So the answer he gives is it's also a big chiddush, but in a totally different context. The Gemara darshans from the fact that in Emor, in Vayikra, right? Elo mode Hashem asher tikru asamoy de kodesh. Elohei mo'adai. Elohei mo'adai. Okay? That's a very interesting phrase. In the past, you've seen, I'm sure many times in the Gemara, a hekesh. Hekesh means that when the Torah explicitly links two things, we have one right here, right? Chagamatzav chagashvuz. That's a hekesh. Torah says, we put them together to teach the halachas of one to apply to the other. There's also, I don't remember from geometry, right? But in logic, there you can compare A to B, and then there's also the identity principle, right? Where A equals A, right? Where there's one factor that instead of comparing one to the other, it compares itself to itself, so to speak. What do I mean? There's a hekesh when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Zachar v'shamar, b'dibor echad. He said both words at the same time, right? So that taught us, what did that teach us? Misha yeshno b'chlal shamor, yeshno b'chlal zachar. A woman, give an example, right? Why do women have to make kiddush? Why do they have to light Shabbos candles? Why do they have to do any of the positive mitzvahs on Shabbos? I have a bomb kasha for you. It's a mitzvah saseh, shazman grama. Just like she doesn't have to shake a lulav, she shouldn't have to eat, lecha mishnah or whatever, any of the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. Because Shabbos is time bound, right? So the answer is, anyone who has to deal with, has to observe, has the privilege and exalted opportunity to observe the negative mitzvahs of Shabbos, the malachos, also has the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. How do you make the jump from one to the other? It's not a hekesh because Shamor is written in the first luchos, and Zachar is written all the way in the other part. It's actually the other way around, sorry. Zachar in Yisro, and Shamor in Veschanan. So there's no hekesh. How do you say, oh, whichever one is this, the other one? So the answer is Hashem said them both at the same time. That's also a hekesh. I think that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. Here also, Elohim Moadai. The Torah groups all of the Yom Tovim in one unit and describes them in one breath as a group of Moadim. So explains the Ramban based on a Gemara in Shavuos that that's what gives us the right to put Rosh Hashanah in the same boat as Shavuos, even though it doesn't carry with it the same principles. Okay? I'm going to cheat though. Okay? Or it could be the Ramban cheating also. We've got to keep in mind in the back of our heads, all these rules are Drabbanan. There's very, 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 very little, if anything, that the Torah mandates as far as Avelis is concerned. Which is a little bit shocking. Wow. Right? But certainly beyond the first day of Avelis, there's no concept of Shiva. There's no seven-day observance in the Torah. We have certain halachos that apply on the first day. Right? We learned some of that from Nadav and Avihu. But there's very, very little that the Torah prescribes. Again, we're not saying that it doesn't have roots in the Torah, right? We see Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is in mourning for a very long time for Yosef, for example. You know, so that has some implications for halacha before the Torah was given. Right, right. So that's a Pandora's box, but I don't want to get into it right now. But the Rambam says that what we do for Avelis is a mitzvah chesed. Right, they're remembering the person and mourning of the person. Right, that's also a form of beinam l'chaveiro. I owe that respect to the person. Right, kavod ames can reflect itself in how we bury the person and also how we comport ourselves after the after the death of the loved one. Okay, but the point is that the chachamim instituted most of these laws. So if they maneuvered a little bit, again, I'm not trying to take away the integrity at all, but if the drusha seems a little more stretched, but I don't know, I think that this is, I think, legitimate by any other,
Okay, did the Torah actually mention that Israel were mourning when the Urim died?
Right, right. But there's no, and thou shalt mourn, right? There's no pasuk like that. So the stories are important, right? So we learn the value of it. But in terms of how long and how much and what you're doing, you know, not to get a haircut, there's no pasuk in the Torah. There's references to that, right? When Nadav and Avihu die, so the Kohanim that are left over, their brothers are told, you know, Roshechem al Tifromo, right? So they were told not to observe Avelis, right? So we learn a little bit what they were not to do, what we should do, okay? We learn a little bit from Yecheskel, about wearing tefillin. The Ovel is not supposed to wear tefillin on the first day of Shiva if it doesn't always work out that way. Because if the funeral's, you know, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, so right. So he's not gonna have chakras. In theory, he could put on tefillin the rest of the day, but we don't wear tefillin the first day, some hold even the second day. But those are not in the Torah. Those are all things, some from Navi, some from Chazam. Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. That is also that's the number one and number two kasha in the sugya. Okay, so give me 5 minutes. We'll get to it. Okay, there's three answers to that question also, but one and two not necessarily in that order. Okay, but that's the gorgeous question is use this. All right, around the table at a Gemara Shira of Sal. Okay, Sal asked the same logic we applied to Yom Kippur, knocking out the remnant of the shloshim for. You know, that was left over after Rosh Hashanah. You should have the same question when it comes to Shemirat Tzeres, right? What was the count we just made? 7 days when you observe the first day right before Sukkot. Sukkot is another 7, 14, right? Now, Shemirat Tzeres is 21. What do you mean 21? Go home. Get a haircut. You're done, right? Okay, I can't, like I said, I have a big Yetzer Hara. I gotta answer your question right now, okay? And we'll get back to you soon. This is very interesting. The answer to this is, one answer to this is because unlike the Shiva you had a chance to at least start before Sukkot began. What you're asking to do is cancel a shloshim that you never even started. That may be too much to ask. Meaning the concept of a Yom Tov interrupting Shiva means that you press fast forward. The person observed 1 day, 2 days, 5 minutes, doesn't matter. Zip through the Shiva and say, fine, 7 days complete. But you can't zip through something you never started, right? it's no different than the fact than, you know, that if a person, God forbid, lose a relative on Yom Tov, they can't start the Shiva till afterwards, right? You could ask the same question about the Shiva. The answer is, if you never started it, you can't fast forward to the end. So that's I think, a very satisfying answer. But there's other answers, but let's keep going. If we have time, we'll talk about it some more.
Hoshana Rabbah, does it come into play at all?
Rav Hoshana Rabbah, for most, you know, purposes, it's Chol Hamoed. It's definitely been bumped up a little bit. The Hoshana Rabbah that we know of, with a kittel and a, you know, a Yom Noraim Nosach, did not exist 400 or 500 years ago. Okay?
So what?
It's more of a Yom HaDin. If anything, it's a Yom HaDin. Okay?
When you say that you've observed 14, it's just amorphous. It's not really...
Well, no. It's 14 that you'll be able to withdraw from the account after Sukkot is over. So the numbers are still, they accrue.
They accrue, but they're not, you haven't really observed it.
Right, right. So you'll have 9 days after Sukkot is over. And, meaning they're accruing in the sense of what's going to be left afterwards, but not in terms of my observance.
Sure.
Right, okay. Forgive me if I talk loudly, if I would, just given where my voice is, if I would speak more softly, you wouldn't hear me at all. So I apologize. Okay. I don't want to take away the birthday drink, you know? Okay. I should have brought a bottle of water. Come on. God forbid. He came to the rescue last time at the end. Okay.
Well, it was sitting over there, so there's no refreshments this week.
We're
second
taking,
week, we get no refreshments.
That is what's called rabbinical solicitations. Anyone have a yahrzeit they'd like to commemorate? They want to sponsor the shiur next week? Donations will be gladly accepted, and we can have some drinks afterwards, okay? Not joking. All right, here we go. The Gemara continues. We're 3 lines before the end of the Mishnah. Ravina Iklo Lesur Depras. Thank you so much. Okay. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Niyabidvaro.
Amen.
Ah, that's great. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Ravina Iklo Lesur Depras. Ravina arrived, came to visit a town known as Sura Depras. It was on the Euphrates. Not the Sura that we usually refer to. But that's where he went. Amar Lei Rav Chaviva Misur de Pras Ravina. So Rav Chaviva, who lived there, he asked Ravina, Amar Mar, Master said, Yomecha Lefnei Rosh Hashanah Hari Kanar Basar. Right? We saw this before. The day before Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah itself is a total of 14. Okay? And he wanted to know from Ravina, is this in fact, he asked Ron's question, is this in fact how we hold? Amar Lei Anam Estavra Kerabim Gamliel Hudamina. So he said, I believe that Rabbi Gamliel makes the most sense. Well, Rabbi Gamliel, we reviewed last week, Rabbi Gamliel was the one who says that on Daf Yotes, you don't have to flip there, Rabbi Gamliel says, let me just read it inside. Rabbi Gamliel says, Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippurim Kirigalim. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur have that status to knock out a Shiva, knock out a Shloshim, and count for another 7, and so forth. Excuse me. So he says, I agree with his reasoning, but I don't necessarily pass like him. Okay? So what's going on over there is a tangent I don't think we need to get into right now, but this was just a conversation that's recorded as far as whether or not we accept the chidushin that we learned tonight. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, we do. We do say that all of these leniencies are correct. That's the way we paskin each Yom Tov, even if it's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which are not the same qualitatively, not the same type of Yom Tov. Nevertheless, we still treat them that way for this purpose. This purpose. Okay, let's get back to your question before, Josh. Yes, Mevatel. Yes. Right, just like Rosh Hashanah, just like Rabbi Gamliel said in the Mishnah. Okay, so the question that you asked was again. The Gemara seems to tell us that Rosh Hashanah is now 14, right? And if I keep counting, right, until I get to Yom Kippur will get me almost to the end, right? But then I have a few days after Yom Kippur. So some Rishonim adopt that approach. They say the direction you were going in, that Yom Kippur doesn't knock out, right? We're trying to see what we come up with at the end of the sugya. Some say that's enough evidence to tell us the opposite of what I just told you, that Yom Kippur doesn't knock out Shloshim. Okay? Some say Yom Kippur does not knock out Shloshim.
But
That's we don't passing like that. Okay? If you look right here on the page, Tosfos mentions our lenient approach. So the reason behind it would be either that point, or like we said, Yom Kippur is not a full-fledged Yom Tov. But what do you do if you hold like we do, that it does knock out the Shloshim? How do you respond to our Gemara? So the answer is, we need to bifurcate our concept of Shloshim a little bit. Okay, meaning the count of Shloshim, this has to do with your Shaila, I think, that you asked me at the Prabhu, if I remember correctly. Maybe the other question. The Shloshim is a numerical count on the calendar independent of when you are observing the practices of Shloshim. Okay? Meaning just because the holiday came along and told you, all right, now, you know, clothing and shaving and haircut and everything, you're back to normal. But it doesn't mean that the clock stops. And there may be other dinim that are still applicable for a little while longer, as long as those 30 days persist. For example, I think one application of this would be Shmua Rechoka. Shmua Rechoka. What's Shmua Rechoka? Shmua Rechoka means that if you hear of the loss of a relative, I have to remember, in those days, you know, you didn't have email and, you know, phone calls. So there were times that, you know, from one part of Europe to the other part of Europe till they found out, could be weeks, could be months, right? So, God forbid, after the Holocaust, people didn't really know what happened to relatives. So now I find out years later that a parent died. What is my obligation? Do I have to sit down, you know, and observe Shiva now? No. If it's after 30 days have passed, the halacha is that the person observes a very minimal Shiva for a short period of time. It could be just a little bit, you know, taking off their shoes. It's not a full-fledged Shiva. It's not even a day of Shiva. Okay? Minimal observance, because once the 30 days have passed, it's not the same reaction. It's not the same response. Okay? Okay, that's what we call Shmua Rechoka, meaning the news of the death was a long time ago. It's old news. Okay? So we said 30 days is the limit, right? So it could be that even if, let's say, Yom Kippur interrupts my practices for a person who did know about the death, and he was observing Shiva, and he was observing Shloshim, Yom Kippur ends it. But if there's someone else far away didn't know about it, so for that, the count of Shloshim is still relevant. And we still need to know where we're holding, 7, 14, 21, whatever, because on the clock, you still need to take into account that there's a span of time, of actual time, not just behavior, that has to be, you know, achieved. Okay? So that's one example. There's a few other examples.
So would that come into play with that? Somebody being a chiyuv as far as like Shloshim? Would that versus a guy who's regular oven?
Right. So that's a good question. Look, he stopped saying...
Even though he got in Shloshim, yeah. After all.
So I want to check on that. Don't quote me on that. The reason why that's important, and I think you're right, is because what we're trying to establish over here is that aspects that are external to the Shiva, they're not part of the observance of Shiva, the clock is still ticking, right? Shloshim, why does a person continue saying Kadosh during Shloshim? Because there are different stages of judgment that the Neshama goes through. One is during Shiva. What we said, I mentioned this at the Shiva house recently, that even the first 3 days, there's a difference between what's going on with the Neshama the first 3 days as opposed to the next 4 days, Shloshim, and then the Yahrzeit. Yahrzeit comes around every day, every year, and there is perhaps a new type of judgment, you know, that the Neshama may encounter. So you keep saying Kaddish for the Shloshim. You could conceive of that, because even if I'm not, you know, I'm getting a haircut, but as far as where the Neshama is holding, right, that has nothing to do with whether I celebrated Pesach, right? So that's the type of thing we're talking about. I'll give you one more example. It's not practical nowadays because, you know, we change into clothing to tear so we can throw it out afterwards, right? The rabbi always, you know, one of the things they teach you, Rabbi 101, is you may have a person who shows up to a funeral who doesn't know that they're about to tear the clothing, and you should ask them, you know, are you sure you want to keep the jacket on before we do the kriya if you're not obligated to do so, right? Even if a person's wearing Shabbos clothing, they're allowed to change out of their clothing for the purposes of the kriya. There's no chiyuv to lose your Armani suit over this, you know? So we usually just throw out the clothing, right? In the old days, you know, there were people, they had the shirt off their back. That's what they had, right? So they wanted to sew it up again. So the Gemara elsewhere in the Masechta has a lot of details. If it's a parent, then you have to wait a certain amount of time. If it's another relative, you don't have to wait shloshim. And even when it's a parent and time has gone by, you can't like have it professionally sewn. You can just informally, you know, do a amateur type of stitch. So let's work with that halacha. You can amateur stitch your shirt after 30 days following a parent. That is going to go by 30 days, real 30 days on the calendar, and not by, you know, whether you're observing the shloshim in real time, because the kriya, that's a separate halacha. That's not about my observances, right? I have to keep the beged unsewn for a certain amount of time, right? And again, that is irrelevant, you know, whether a yantah passed or not. Okay?
Well, more like when you're thinking of priorities for chiyuvim, the daven, for example.
Right, so that's what I was saying. As long as you're saying Kaddish, that's when the priority would exist. So
he's not saying Kaddish, his priority is not there.
Meaning,
I mean, like a person who stops saying Kaddish after 11 months, they still have one more month where that technically is still a chiyuv if they want to daven.
Right.
To daven.
Okay.
But
okay.
Well, they're chiyuv to daven if there's no other chiyuv.
Right,
you're the first on
right.
board if there's no.
I mean, the idea of Kaddish, you're right. 12th month is a little bit. That's a little bit of a no man's land, a little bit of in limbo. But any other time the person's saying Kaddish, he's saying Kaddish because it brings us chus for the neshama. So too, you know, that's why he's down for the Amud. Kaddish and the Amud, it's the same thing.
Right.
It just you know, down for the Amud is like Kaddish on steroids, you know, because you have more Amins and Yeshmei Rabbas and you know and things like that. But just finished 30 seconds. Another thing to keep in mind, another possible answer as to why a Yom Kippur or a Shmini Atzeres may or may not knock out the rest, is some Rishonim say, you can't double dip the chip. Okay, you know, there's room for one Kulan Avelis to cancel a Shiva, but some deny the whole concept of a second Kula altogether. Okay, and we'll. It's 9:45. We'll continue next time. I just wanted to add one more point, but we'll save it for next week, Mr. Shem. Okay.